This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. When doctors and patients battling terminal illness employ so-called palliative care, it's generally seen as an admission that death is near, and there's nothing to be done about it except make it as emotionally and physically painless as possible. Even the word itself, to palliate, meaning to relieve or lessen without curing, carries a hint of surrender. But in a new study out of Massachusetts General Hospital, suggests that kind of care might actually extend life in addition to making it more comfortable. Because in the study, patients with advanced lung cancer who received palliative care along with their standard medical care actually lived almost 3 months longer than patients receiving standard care alone. That finding, published today in the New England Journal of Medicine, could have profound implications for the most fundamental assumptions doctors, patients, and even insurance companies make for cancer care. So, listeners, if you or a loved one is undergoing cancer treatment with or without palliative care right now, we'd love to hear your reaction to this finding. Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Well, joining me now is the study's lead author, Dr. Jennifer Temel, lung cancer specialist at the MGH Cancer Center. Welcome to Radio Boston, Dr. Temel.
Thank you.
Also with us is one of your study co-authors, Dr. Vicki Jackson. She's acting chief of palliative care services at MGH. Dr. Jackson, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
Well, Dr. Temel, if we could just first start, why did you look at a particular type of lung cancer, I believe, for patients in this study?
So the goal of this study was to try to improve the experience and the quality of life for advanced cancer patients. We actually chose a metastatic lung cancer population because those patients have a very short life expectancy of less than 1 year, and they also have an incredibly high symptom burden. So even at the time of diagnosis, these patients tend to have significant amounts of pain, shortness of breath, loss of appetite, and these symptoms tend to persist throughout the course of their disease. So when thinking about some type of intervention to try to improve the quality of their life, it's something that should begin early in the course of their disease.
Okay, so in the study, you had these two groups, one receiving standard medical care, which I presume is some form of chemotherapy or radiation, that kind of thing, and then another group receiving that plus palliative care. So, Dr. Jackson, if you could just describe what that plus care, that palliative care was, that'd be great.
Palliative care is a subspecialty of medicine that focuses on improving quality of life for patients with serious illness. In our assessment of patients, we will see if they have symptoms that are bothersome, like pain, nausea, shortness of breath, and treat those with medications and other interventions that we think will help ease that suffering. Another important part of palliative care is to help the patients and the families cope as well as they can with the serious illness. So our goal is to help them live as fully as they can for as long as they can. And that often means helping them identify their goals and values, what's important to them, and helping them match their treatment decisions to those goals and values.
Can you give me a specific example of what some of those goals and values are and how you might match treatment to that?
So I saw a patient today who has two young children, and he's feeling very fatigued from the pain that he's experiencing as well as the cancer itself. And our goal was to allow him to be able to be more functional, to treat his fatigue and his pain so he would be able to spend more time with his young sons. He wanted to be able to go to a Red Sox game with them. We talked about how to get extra support for them to be able to get to the beach and do the things that they want to do on days when he's feeling well.
Mm. Dr. Temel, so these patients are not foregoing traditional treatment as well. So how is it that you think addition of palliative care actually did lead to this surprising finding of the additional 3 months of life?
I think that's one of the most important results in this study is demonstrating to clinicians and to patients that state-of-the-art cancer care and palliative care are not mutually exclusive, that they can be done at the same time. Our best guess as to why we saw the improvements in survival with early palliative care was our other findings that patients who were receiving early palliative care had improvements in their quality of life and in their mood. And we know that patients who have better quality of life are out and about more, they're more functional, they're exercising more, as are people who are less depressed. So we believe that keeping them healthier with palliative care led to the survival improvements.
We have a call exactly on this point. Diane is calling from West Roxbury. Welcome to Radio Boston, Diane.
Thank you, and I'm excited about this discussion. My husband was a lung cancer patient, and I was, correct or not, under the impression that we would not be able to get access to palliative care unless we were discharged from the treatment team. My other issue was that the word palliative was very disturbing for my husband.
For him to even hear that.
Yes, and it was very uncomfortable for him, although once we did receive palliative care at the end stage, he welcomed it tremendously, and as did the family, but it was very late.
Diane, thank you so much for your call. Let me turn your question to Dr. Jackson there.
I think that what we heard the caller say is a common misconception about palliative care and how it can be integrated into the care of patients. As we said before, the goal is really to help patients live as fully as they can. And patients and also clinicians, unfortunately, often confuse hospice care with palliative care. And they're two separate services. Palliative care can be delivered to any patient with serious illness, independent of prognosis. And alongside, they're receiving cares focused on treatment and cure. Whereas hospice care is delivered to patients who have a prognosis of less than 6 months.
Now, is part of the reason why many patients may have the same conception that Diane did about not even having palliative care as an option are there some blocks from insurance companies that say you have to choose one or the other?
There aren't blocks from insurance companies. Our services are fully covered by insurance companies. I think what Dr. Temmel and I have seen is a lot of the reluctance is really misconceptions about palliative care and that it somehow means you're giving up. And in reality, these two services can be integrated at the same time, and we frequently co-manage patients alongside the oncologist.
Let me ask you about that, because Diane raised it as well, saying that her husband, even when hearing the term palliative care, it disturbed him because people often do feel like it just means that it's the end and there's nothing more you can do, except in modern medical science, there's the thought that there's always something more that you can do. They don't want to give up. How is it that you deal with this when you're presenting even the idea of taking on palliative care to patients?
I think a lot of patients' misperceptions about palliative care really come from their physicians, that physicians don't understand what role palliative care can play and that they're afraid to use the term. And I think that's something that we've gotten very comfortable with at Mass General Hospital, because for the last couple of years, we've actually had our palliative care clinic embedded in the cancer center. So we have a lot of experience co-managing patients together. Our oncologists have a lot of experience talking about palliative care, addressing patients' fears about it, talking to them about the potential benefits. So I feel like if the physicians and nurses understand the role of palliative care and can better explain it to the patients, that will allay a lot of these fears and concerns.
We're talking about a study out of Massachusetts General Hospital just published today that says that palliative care alongside standard cancer care may actually increase a lifespan by up to 3 months for those suffering a serious form of lung cancer. Anne is on the line from Newton. Welcome to Radio Boston, Anne.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. My comment is I was witness to palliative care when my mother died of cancer, but it seems to me that palliative care should be a part of medicine as a whole, because the idea of improving the quality of life should not be reserved for people only with dire illness and extremis, but should also be just part of anyone who is ill. All illness, creates fatigue and problems, and it's the quality of life that makes the illness manageable.
And thank you so much for your call. Dr. Jackson, is that something that requires basically retraining doctors how to think when they're treating a disease, that it's more than just the cellular problem? It's the entire impact it has on every aspect of a patient's life.
I think that's right. I think when I think about it, I think about it in two ways. One is that in our busy medical practices, it's very hard to be able to manage all of the things we need to manage and also keep the bigger picture view about how is this actually helping the patient and what's important to them. So I think it's an important part of any primary care practice to be focused on, are these treatments really meeting the patient's goals and values? I think also there are subsets of patients who have symptoms that are quite challenging to manage. And clinicians who don't have expertise and extra training in pain or other symptom management may not be equipped to manage those problems effectively.
Dr. Temel, let me ask you, end-of-life care is very expensive. It's one of the most expensive parts of our healthcare system today. So if we are extending people's life by up to 3 months, in your study at least, what implication does that have, positive or negative, for cost overall?
So certainly people living longer is a good outcome. Whether patients living longer increase healthcare costs, it's not completely certain. But specifically in this study, we did look at some what is considered to be futile care at the end of life. So for example, we looked at chemotherapy administration in the 2 weeks prior to death, which is generally considered to be futile. And we know that patients who were receiving early palliative care received less of this futile chemotherapy, which is a suggestion that actually maybe their early palliative care involvement saved healthcare costs.
I see. So they're not receiving the high-cost care. They're not in the ICU. They're actually maybe at home or someplace else enjoying life.
That's exactly right. We also demonstrated that these patients were more likely to receive hospice care at home and be on hospice longer, which is associated with a higher quality end-of-life care.
Well, Dr. Jennifer Temel, lead author of a new study out of the Massachusetts General Hospital on palliative care and extending end-of-life for folks suffering a particular form of dangerous lung cancer, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Dr. Vicki Jackson, acting chief of palliative care services at MGH and co-author of this new study, thank you so much for being with us as well.
Thank you.
I suppose the biggest challenge both of you face is actually just getting the word out there that palliative care is an option for patients.
I think that's right.
Well, we have to take a break, but when we come back after the events of September 11th, intelligence was priority number one. The question for a long time has been whether or not the Bush administration went too far to get it. So we're going to explore that with two Bay Area professors and also larger issues on torture, eavesdropping, and presidential power. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.